We're recording. Yay. It's Joanna. I know that I was on the line with some of you just for the last hour and a half. So hi again. And for those of you that haven't heard my voice in a few weeks, hello, welcome, happy new year. I'm so happy that we're here for this special bonus that is called Getting People to Your Retreats. And it's a three-parter that we're going to be looking at this month. And I want to just like share a little bit of a background of why I'm offering this. So it actually started out as a supplement or like a bonus for the Into the Depths training, which is my facilitator, my Ritual and Facilitation Mastery program. So hi, IDTers or ITDers, it's so glad you're here. So it started out because, you know, we're looking in the Ritual and Facilitation training at how to lead retreats and lead events and lead workshops and all of that. And I thought that it would be really helpful to just give you a little bit of info on, like, okay, wait, how do you actually get people to the retreat? So that's, you know, when I started doing these for this context, not just kind of in a business coaching program. And then this is the first year that I'm doing it for the coach training program. And, you know, I had these three calls on the calendar, and for those of you that are in Sacred Depths, you know, I know we're not looking at retreats in particular, but I know some of you do lead retreats and workshops, so it'll be really valuable on that end. But really the process and the ideas that I'm going to be sharing with you over these next three calls, a lot of them can really be applied to your one-on-one work as well. So hopefully it will be helpful and valuable all around. I do want to kind of preframe a little bit and say that obviously, you know, we have 3 hours together on this topic, but obviously, you know, we could spend 12 months really looking at getting people to your retreats, getting people to your one-on-one work. So what I'm going to outline for you over these three calls is not exhaustive in any way. Instead, the purpose is to generate new ideas for you, to help you go deeper, to give you detail into ideas that you already have, to inspire you, to give you a bit more instruction, you know, all of that. And I'll really be sharing with you, I think my approach is a little different. Not from everyone in the industry, but probably from most people in the industry. So I'll be sharing, you know, I think for a lot of you, what I'm going to be sharing is going to resonate and maybe take some pressure off of things. I hope. Obviously, these three calls are not, you know, in the place of if you feel like you need one-on-one support or like a longer business coaching program, but I do think you're going to get a lot out of it. The other thing I just wanted to say is that if you are someone who tends to feel anxiety when it comes to calls like these, like marketing calls, as opposed to like the fun trait your skills training calls, I want you to know that you're not alone. Marketing can often bring up anxiety and or confusion, resistance, anger, whatever it is for you. You know, even for me, I've been in business for a long time. I teach business. I teach marketing. And when I'm looking at new things or I'm looking to deepen things that I'm already doing marketing-wise or be on my edge, you know, it can sometimes can bring some stuff up for me. It's totally natural and normal if that's the case. And so if that's you, then, you know, my suggestion is, you know, as we go through these calls and as you do your marketing work, just keep on connecting back to your higher self and your higher truth. on our calls, if you tend to start feel you're getting anxious, just take deep breaths, connect back in. Don't fall into any myth of perfection or anything like that. And try to, I know this might sound hard for some of you, but try to have fun and enjoy the marketing process. So over these three calls, my hope is to be able to cover a variety of different ways to reach out and create visibility for your retreats and your private work. As I mentioned before, my perspective is maybe a little bit different than a lot of what's out there in the industry right now. What I really want to share with you mostly over these three calls is about like what I call guerrilla marketing and grassroots techniques. And what I mean by that is we're not going into like fancy online marketing. I call it, there's two F words in marketing, and one of them is funnel. we probably on our third call, but we're probably not going to look at online funnels, you know, in this. What's worked so well for me in my own business is marketing that is grassroots, is marketing that's about intimacy, is marketing that's about creating relationships and deepening relationships. It was the most important thing when I was starting out in my business, and I'll share with you that even now that I do use a lot of online techniques, I still always come back to and prioritize the grassroots strategies, the guerrilla marketing, the pieces that I'll be sharing with you over this month. Like, those are always higher priority than creating a lead magnet, you know, any of the funnel in online insanity. I do that stuff now, but I always prioritize the other stuff first. I generally fill, there are some programs, honestly, that I fill without doing any public marketing at all. They just fill behind the scenes. I don't market them at all. And I fill them in the ways that I'm going to be sharing with you over these three calls. And then for the programming that I do market publicly, I always fill a good number of spots through the grassroots techniques that I'm going to be sharing with you. You know, and the other reason why I really love grassroots and guerrilla marketing techniques is that they're less expensive money-wise than some of the fancy online stuff. All right. So all of that being said, what I want to take a look at today is the very first thing that I ever do when I have a program to fill, private spots to fill, a retreat to fill, you know, the very, very first thing that I ever do when I've got, I need someone in a seat for something is pretty obvious, but maybe not, is individual outreach. So why do I do individual outreach first, and why is it so powerful? Well, because that's what individual outreach is, what can fill seats the quickest. It's like, you know, sometimes there's a long process to nurturing a prospect and getting them interested and then having them hear you talk and on, and we need to do some of that for sure, but it actually can happen much quicker if there are people that we can outreach to individually. It's just a much quicker process, much easier process, less time-consuming process. and it's powerful because it's intimate, right? One of the things we're going to be looking at today is how to do individual outreach, and you're going to see it's very intimate. It's person by person by person. It's very personalized. When things are intimate and personalized, the person on the receiving end of the outreach is going to be more likely to listen to you, is going to be more likely to pay attention to what you're saying, is going to be more likely to respond to you, is going to be more likely to get on the phone with you. They are going to be seen and heard. And whether you're in the ritual, the facilitator training program or the coach training program or both, you know that you've heard me say over and over again, one of the core most important things is for our clients to feel seen and heard and loved by us. Well, guess what? Same is true for prospects. The more that they feel seen and heard and loved, the more responsive they're going to be. Individual outreach does take some time and energy. You know, it is an effort, right, to individually outreach to people as opposed to sending an email to hundreds or thousands of people, but it can really yield great results. And the metaphor that, you know, I like to think about, because I think sometimes when we're in business and we get so caught up in, like, the flashy, like, I want to reach out to hundreds and thousands of people, and it's going to be so awesome, and I need to do all of the, like, bigger, flashier, you know, big actions, bold, you know, all of that. I think, you know, we forget how powerful the intimate can be. And I like to use like an apple picking metaphor. I went apple picking a lot when I was younger. And you know, when you go apple picking, it's like if you have gone, there are the apples that, like, you could just walk up to the tree and you don't have to do anything. You just, like, maybe raise your arm a little bit. The apple is fully grown. It's juicy. It looks delicious. And you just, like, pluck it from the tree. Right, it doesn't take much effort. Individual outreach is like those lower hanging fruits, right? That you can just go up to the tree and pluck. All of the online marketing and the funnels and the bigger, bolder actions, those are like the apples that are way at the top of the tree that you need those crazy contraptions, those apple picking contraptions, you know, that I could never totally get to work with those long sticks at the top of the tree, right? So we don't want to, like, put, I mean, eventually once you get all the bottom apples, you want to start using the bigger contraption and all of that. But to me, to my mind, it doesn't make sense to go for the apples at the top of the tree, like the people that we don't know yet, that have nothing to do with us, that we have to, you know, find out of the ethers of the internet. Like, those are the highest apples on the tree. Like, it makes no sense to go for those first. We want to go first for the networks that we have and who we know and who knows who we know. So that's that. And I just have a side note here before I get into how sharing with you my individual outreach process that has been very, very effective, both for me and for hundreds, thousands of clients. I just had a side note here for those of you that are working to fill your retreat versus private programs. Just in general, when you're filling retreats, I'd be remiss if I didn't say this. If it's not a virtual retreat, if it's an in-person retreat, particularly if it's one where people may have to travel, you want to give people time, right? So timing with any kind of outreach, any kind of marketing is really important. When I do outreach, whether it's individual outreach or public outreach or, you know, whatever it is for a retreat, I really give it at least 3 months in advance. But honestly, because I'm like such a planner and I know my calendar gets filled so quickly,
I'm often promoting a retreat. Like, you know, again, if people are traveling, if it's a couple of days, I'm even doing it a little farther out, like 4 months. Sometimes I'll do it even longer, which I don't know if that's the best idea, but definitely give it, you know, 3 months, 4 months. Some people will always come in last minute for sure, but you want to start filling a bit in advance, if possible. All right, so what are the steps that you need to take in order to do effective individual outreach? And again, this is like the first thing that I ever do. Like if I'm filling a program and I want, doesn't matter how many people I want in the program, 24 people in the program, 60 people in the program, 100, 8, whatever it is, before I send out any mass emails, before I Facebook, before I anything, I'm going to individually outreach to people. And you know, I always fill at least a couple of spots, if not all of my spots, that way. So how do I do this? Well, first thing is to make a list of anyone that you know that would be a good fit for the offering. And this list, for example, can consist of, you know, current clients that you have, past clients that you've had, people that have been hanging around you, you know, they know about your work. Maybe or, you know, they've expressed interest. Maybe it's someone that you've had an enrollment conversation with in the past, but they weren't ready to sign up. Or you know, you've been posting on Facebook about your work or your philosophy or your beliefs or whatever it is, and it's someone that's been commenting a lot and really engaging with you. Or maybe it's someone that has come to one of your classes or come to one of your events or a talk that you've given, right? So this, anyone that's been hanging around you has been interested, you know, in one way or another in the work, you're going to put on this list. And then, you know, especially if you're starting out and you don't have current clients or past clients, you know, to put on the list yet, anyone that you know from basically anywhere that would be a good fit for the program or the one-on-one work or whatever. You know, if you have a child and you know someone from the PTA, that would be a good fit. If you are part of any volunteer groups, if you have old colleagues from old jobs, you know, whatever it is, someone from book club, anyone that you sense would be a good fit, you want to put on this list. And the challenge that I like to give my clients, you know, when we're starting to do individual outreach, is to see if you can put at least 15 people, just create a list of at least 15 people that would be a good fit for the offering. Now, that being said, I am positive that there are some of you on the call right now that are listening in and the anxiety is rising and the resistance is rising and maybe what's going through your head is, what is she talking about? I don't even know 15 people. Or, you know, well, let's start with that one. So, you know, maybe you're saying, I don't know even 15 people. Or maybe you're saying that there is no way I could ever outreach to this person or that person. It feels way too uncomfortable. I'm crossing a line. I don't want to be pushy. I'm scared to do this. I don't want people to think I'm aggressive. I don't want to make anyone feel weird or strange, and therefore I don't really have anyone to put on this list. So if
you are thinking and feeling that, first thing I want you to know is that that is so totally normal to feel that way, especially when you first start to do this. I 100% could out-anxiety you on not only how I felt the first time that I did individual outreach, but honestly, even now, done it so many times, I still always have, you know, some, with some people more than others, it's like a little tinge, or sometimes more than a little tinge of like, oh my gosh, should I not be reaching out to this person? So it might be, there may be a small chance that your concerns are totally true, that you really don't have anyone to do individual outreach to, but my guess is that that's probably not true. Only you know for sure, and I honor if that's the truth for you, but my guess is that it's probably not true. So I do, just like if you're in that place of resistance right now, I just want you to honestly ask yourself and challenge yourself, you know, who do you know that you could reach out to? And what I'll say is the difference between pushy aggressive and just open, inviting, inspiring individual outreach is all about how you do the outreach and what you say. I'm going to take you step by step by that on this call. I do think there is a wrong way to do it. And when you do it the wrong way, it can come off as pushy. We don't want to do that. If you truly don't have anyone to individually outreach to for whatever your offering is, then I have some alternatives for you. And hopefully we'll get there later on this call, if not for sure by next week. So let me pause here before I keep on going. We're going to get into how to actually do the individual outreach and what to say and just all the ins and outs of that. But let me just pause here and see if there are any questions so far. Star two. Thank you. All right. Then we'll keep on going. So first thing I always do, like I said, is I make the list, right? And I may sit on that list for a couple days, a couple weeks, right? Like until I feel ready to take the next step, that's okay, right? So but you do actually don't just think of people in your head. Literally, and that's something I'd love for you to do for homework this week is like sit down. Maybe some of you have already started on this call. Make a list. Write it down. Then the next thing that you want to do is to create a template outreach email. So I'm going to go through what that looks like, but I'll also share with you all some actual templates that I have used and created for this, and you can adapt for yourselves, but I do want to go through and explain the different pieces and some of the energy and the philosophy and the idea behind it so that you really get it. So first thing is that I create a template, but when I send it, it doesn't feel like a template because I'm going to personalize each one based on who I'm sending it to. But I like to create a template so that I'm not recreating the wheel every email that I send, every individual email that I send out. Because it does, like I said before, it does take some time.
to email each person. I mean, it just does. I'm going to be honest and upfront about that. But it takes even more time if you don't have a template, and it can feel stressful. It's just nice to have the template. So what does the template look and feel like? So first of all, individual outreach is, in my opinion, like you do not want it to have any hint or scent of marketiness at all. It should not feel like marketing. It should not feel professional. What I mean is like businessy, right? You want this individual outreach to be incredibly casual. Casual, 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 casual. You want it to be in your voice and in your energy completely. There should be nothing formal about this email at all. You don't want to use any banners in this email. This is like a plain text from your personal, if you have two emails, like your business, like info at email versus like your personal business email, it needs to come from your personal business email. This should not smell of any kind of mass produced anything. Casual, 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 personal, 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 not markety at all. And the next thing is that you just want to, you want to think a little bit. The most important, like the first most important thing of any kind of outreach email, whether it's to one person or to thousands and thousands of people or more, is your subject line. Because here's the thing. If the person that's receiving the email doesn't open the email, then it doesn't matter what you've written in the email, right? They're never going to read it. Could be like the most amazing, powerful, compelling email ever, but if they don't open it, it doesn't matter. And people get so many emails in their inboxes these days and ignore a lot of them or think that they're just mass emails. And so they don't either don't open them or they don't prioritize opening them. They just will open it later. Like, I'm sure you've had this experience many, many, many times. If you get an email in your inbox and it's clear from the subject heading, the subject line, that that email is specifically meant for you, that it was written by a real person, that you know, that it's not like a newsletter or whatever, but like that they're actually writing to you, aren't you much more likely to open it up and open it up way quicker than have it sit in your inbox or just delete it, right? So the subject heading needs to feel really casual, really intimate, really personal, and like it's specifically from you to the specific person that you're writing to. So, you know, for me, because I do send out a lot of marketing emails in my business when I'm doing individual outreach, you know, I'll put in the subject line something like, you know, personal, this is a personal note from Joanna, personal from Joanna, or, you know, like, hi, blah, 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 this is from Joanna, you know, like something that just really lets them know it's from me. So you want to think about the subject line to make sure that they actually open it and open it in a timely manner. And then generally here's what the note should look like. It should not be very long at all, right? Because why? Because people don't tend to respond. You need to like read through a whole long thing and respond to it. And also the longer it is, I think, probably the more markety you're going to get. Again, you just want to keep it casual. So here's generally like how I usually do it. I have a very personalized opening that's not part of the template. So, you know, hi, Joanna. You know, how are you doing? Or how is, you know, Susie,
your child, or how is such and such your you know, or their partner is, or like, I know you had that bad flu in November. How are you feeling? Right. So not long, not a lot of personalized, but something that just is warm and personal off the bat, and lets the person know that this is specifically for them. And then from there, the next piece, again, just really short, is I'll write something as followed. You know, I'm reaching out because I am just over the moon excited about a retreat that I'm going to be offering in May, right? Just simple. I'm reaching out because I'm excited about this thing. And then I just very briefly write just a little bit about the thing. And so it might sound like this. You know, this retreat is for soul-centered women who are really ready to X. And X is just the desired result of your ideal client, right? So it's for, and then you're going to write who the ideal client is briefly. You're not going to describe over like lots and lots and lots, just a little bit. And this person is looking for, and then you're going to insert what their desired results are. From there, I'll write something like this. As I'm preparing to share this retreat with the world, you just keep on coming to mind because, and then I'll insert there why I think this person that I'm writing to would just so love and just receive so much value from the retreat or from whatever it is I'm offering. Right, so as I prepare to share this retreat with the world, you just keep on coming to mind because I know you're so ready for blah, right? Whatever it is that I know about them and why they would be a good fit. And so I wanted to let you know about it privately before I let my bigger community know about it, right? So this part is important. Like, and again, you do want to let them know about it before the bigger community, or else, you know, if you've already, like, put it out there, you don't want to, you know, to the bigger community, you don't want to, like, say this in the private. But when I can, I, like I said, I always start with this step. I always do it first because I want this person to feel special. Like, I'm letting you know before I let everyone else know. I thought about you specifically, right? And then, you know, if it feels right after that, I'll write something like, and of course, I also wanted to extend a special rate. You know, if it's something you were interested in, I wanted to also just extend like a super secret, you know, rate to you. And then from there, the next statement, this is kind of like the magic statement. I write, would it make sense for us to hop on the phone about it? Would it make sense for us to hop on the phone about it? And the reason why I think this is like the magic statement is because I'm not saying, let's go ahead and set up a call. I'm not being pushy. I'm not being aggressive. I'm not saying we should. I'm like co-creating and I'm asking, like, would it make sense, right? It's just such a casual, easy, laid back way of reaching out and asking if they want to have a conversation. And then after that, I usually wrap it up with something like, it would just be so wonderful to hear your voice and to hear what's been going on for you, you know, and to see if this might be a right fit. And then if it's someone that I'm feeling just like a little scared to reach out, that, you know, I don't want to come off as aggressive, sometimes I'll just add the, and of course, you know, I'm not attached, and if this doesn't feel right, no worries, or I might, right? Like, I'd still like to talk to you if I do want to talk. I don't want to, I'm not going to take my time to talk to someone if I don't want to, right? But you can always put that in there too. And then that's it. With love, Joanna. So hopefully, you know, what you're seeing in this is not a long Megillah. This is not going on and on and on, talking too much about what you have to offer. This is like a very casual, you know, I'm super excited. This is what it's about. I just keep on thinking about you. You keep on coming to mind because, and would it make sense? All right, so let me pause there. And again, I'll share a couple of different examples of that letter with you in your membership group. But let me pause there and see if there are any questions. Start to on the template. Tina.
Hi, Joanna. So my only question was, in terms of creating the promotion of I wanted to reach out to you first before I promote it to my greater community, would that would not be an email, correct? Is that just like an individual like text or phone call, or is that an actual email?
I tend to do an email, just that's my preferred way of communication. However,
sure.
That being said, if you usually communicate with someone over text,
uh-huh.
then you absolutely do it over text.
Okay.
And if it's just someone that you're like, you know, I feel like I could just actually pick up the phone and ask this person and that would feel
sure.
really good, that's always the best way, right?
Okay.
So,
yeah.
So for me, I do tend to email, but any of the ways, you know, whatever feels right.
Yeah. See, because that's what I'm struggling with, because in my group, age group of women, I'm 37, and like it's kind of sad, like we only communicate through texting, but I find that it can be very impersonal.
Yeah.
And so I know a group of people who resonate with that because they're very busy moms, and I understand, I am one too, but then I don't know whether I should just do it all one way or do certain people texts, certain people emails, certain people
I would
phone.
Personalize for each person. Think about each person.
Okay.
Like I said, personal, personal, personal. For some people, text is going to be the right way. For some people,
got it.
Going to be whatever is going to be right for each person.
I see.
Yeah, whatever's
okay,
going to
really
be most
helpful.
Effective. Yeah. Good.
Thank you.
I'm glad. You're welcome. Okay, I'll continue on. So so you'll create the template and then, you know, personalize it for each person in the ways that I was talking about and send them out, make the calls, you know, whatever it is. Like I said, it can sometimes be a little time consuming, so you might do it all in one sitting, or you might say, I'm going to like send this out to 3 or 4 people every day until I get through my list, whatever it is. And then from there, remember I said there's 2 F words when it comes to marketing. One of them is funnels. But the second F word that most people hate and really does feel like an F word is follow up. So the next thing you're going to want to do is follow up. So there's some people that you're going to reach out to. And I think if you text or call, you'll get more people to respond right away. But if you, like I said, I generally do email. So when I do email, there's some people that will respond right away, like, you know, within a couple days of when I send it out. But the truth is that it's totally normal for some, or really for many or most people, to not respond right away. And it doesn't mean, when they don't respond, it doesn't mean that they're angry at you, that you crossed a line, that they're not interested. It doesn't generally, doesn't mean any of that at all. It really just means that we live in an incredibly busy world where people have so much to do on their lists. They get a ton of emails, right? All of that. And so it's really important to follow up. When you outreach to someone and you don't follow up, then it's like it's just kind of hanging out
in the middle of nowhere, nothing's going to really happen with it. I like to use a tennis analogy. We're going from apple picking to tennis here. But anyway, when I was younger, I took a couple of tennis lessons. And one of the things that really, even though I sucked at tennis because I'm not good at anything athletic, one of the things that really just I found fascinating and really resonated for me was the teacher explained that when you're playing tennis, in order to get the ball to go where you want it to go, it's not just about the impact that the ball makes with your racket. That is important. And we can call the impact that the ball makes with the racket that individual, that first outreach, right? But that's not enough to get the ball to where you want it to go. To get the ball to where you want it to go is in the follow-up. So for those of you that play tennis or maybe other sports with rackets, you probably know it's not just about the impact, but then what is your arm doing? Where is the racket going even after it's made impact? What's the follow-up? And it's the same is true with marketing. I rarely make sales on the first email, whether it's individual or, to my entire newsletter community. It's in the follow-up that I make the sale, or someone says, yes, I want to get on the phone with you, or whatever it is. And so, that's why you want to follow up. Also, you don't want to wait weeks and weeks and weeks, because when you wait a really long time, it weakens you've sent the original outreach. Hopefully they've read it. It's on their mind. If you follow up 3 weeks later, they've already moved on to 30 other things from then. If you follow up 3 or 4 or 5 days later, it's still fresh in their mind. They're still activated. And so I for me, follow-up is really short, and I just make it really easy breezy, again, really casual, 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 casual. And it usually goes something like this. Hi, X, whoever it is I'm following up with. I know life is so busy, but I did just want to make sure you saw the note that I sent a few days ago. I'm just so excited about this retreat. And I would just love to hear back from you either way. I've, just forwarded that original email below. I hope you're doing really well. Love, Joanna. And that's it. With follow-up, and this goes back a little bit to Tina's question, sometimes if I've sent somebody an email, for example, and they don't respond, I'll mix it up and I'll send them a Facebook message or a text. Sometimes if somebody doesn't respond in one way, they're more apt to respond in another way. That is so true for me. Sometimes somebody will send me an email or two and they don't respond, but then if they send me a Facebook message, I'm like, oh, wait, they want my attention. They want a response. And so, you can mix it up. Now, one thing I wanted to mention is you might be wondering why in the outreach and in the follow-up, I'm not just asking the person to sign up, or I'm not just saying check out the sales, the information. I hate to call things sales pages with prospects. So you just say information page or, the program page or whatever it is. Why aren't I just doing that and going for the sale, the direct sale? Why am I asking people to hop on the phone? Because you're more likely to make the sale if you have a conversation with someone than if you don't. Again, back to marketing is all about relationships, right? When you're having a conversation with someone, you're deepening the relationship. It's true now that my business is, my business model is much bigger and, serving a lot of people. I do make a lot of sales directly from a sales page online, 1, 2, 3. But I always either make myself available. If it's individual outreach, I'll make myself available, or else I have a sales team available, right? There is opportunity to have conversations. Especially
I just think it is the, it may take a little longer to have a conversation, but it's the safest route to get to a sale. Okay, so send the individual outreach, you send the follow-up. Now, if you have some people that you feel would be a really good fit, but you just cannot get over any kind of anxiety or fear of, like, that they'll think you're pushy because you're inviting them you to a program and or to work with you and have a conversation about it, but you just really feel like they're a good fit, but, like, you just inside of yourself, for those of you in the coach training, at some point we'll get to, like, stretch, risk, or die. Like, we always want people to be in stretch or risk zone, but not I'd rather die than do that zone. But if it feels like I'd rather die than tell this person that they should be, you know, I think they should be in this program or whatever, but you still feel like they're a really good fit, then you have a little escape hatch. And what you can do instead, like a really nice alternative, but only if you're too nervous and only if it feels like a die, or else I really want to invite you to do it the way that I shared, or, you know, adapt it for you. But the kind of escape hatch here are to invite them to an informational interview, which is just like a little bit more removed, but can still be really powerful. So it's basically, it would be a similar kind of outreach that I outlined, but instead of saying, you know, you know, would it make sense for us to hop on the phone because I think that you're a good fit for the program, you'd say, like, you're the exact type of person that is so ideal for this retreat. And I'm still trying to do, like, a little research on how to outreach. Would you be willing to hop on the phone and spend, you know, 30 minutes or so with me so I can ask you some questions and you can give me your thoughts and your opinions? It's just because you're just so the exact profile of who would be perfect for this retreat. And so then it becomes this kind of, like, informational interview where it's more that you're asking their opinion on things, you're gathering, and so you can't, like, you will gather great information, but if that person truly is ideal, from the questions that you ask on the call, they will naturally want to hear more about your offer, or you will at that point feel more comfortable to say, like, hey, would it actually make sense for us, you know, to see if this would be a good fit for you? And the conversation that you would have with that person is actually very similar to the conversation that you would have if you did it the first way I was saying. And I'm going to we'll get there next. Okay, so step one, make a list. Step two, outreach, individual outreach. Step three, follow-up. And then escape hatch is the informational interview invite if you just feel too nervous to straight up invite someone into more of an enrollment conversation. So hopefully between the initial outreach and the follow-up, you'll have some people, you'll definitely, I'll tell you straight up, there's some people there just aren't going to respond at all. Don't get insulted. It's just life. They're not upset. They're just busy and not interested. You will have some people that will respond to you and say, this sounds so awesome, but I'm not, you know, I don't want to get on the phone, or it doesn't make, you know, whatever. Again, totally normal, part of the deal, all good. But hopefully you will have some people that you've outreached to that are going to want to get on the phone with you. And, you know, some of this is like a numbers game, so sometimes when I'm filling a program or a retreat, and I used to do this, I don't market for my private practice anymore, it's always just kind of full behind the scenes, but when I used to market for my private practice, I would
do the same thing is I'd make it into a game. And the game was not how many sales can I make, but how many people can I get on the phone? That's, to me, that's key. Like, if you can get someone on the phone, then you're just so much closer to filling a spot. So I play this game of, like, how many people can I get on the phone this week, right? And really, when I say game on purpose, because so that it's fun and lighthearted, and the more people that you do outreach to, you know, the more people that what all the different ways of outreach, the more people that you reach out to, the more people are likely to get on the phone with you, right? That's kind of how it works. Okay, we have just about 10 more minutes, so let me share a couple of more things, and I'll open up for any questions. So hopefully we'll have some people that will want to get on the phone with you. So here's an important point. I really want you to prepare for those phone calls. I know some of you on this call are very, very experienced and skilled at sales calls. I like to call them enrollment conversations. You know what to do, but if you don't, just you never want to go into an enrollment conversation without a plan. You all have access in your membership sites to a 5-hour enrollment conversation training that I do. It's a bonus for you. It is the training is worth the amount of money that you've invested in whatever program you're in with me, honestly. Like, if you don't know how to do sales calls or you feel nervous about them or they haven't been effective for you, I know 5 hours is a big investment. You will get so much from listening to that training. And I have templates and scripts. They're like highly, highly, highly. I give that to you as a bonus because I just want you to be as successful as you can be with all of this. So definitely listen to it. So to prepare for the conversations, you want to just make sure you have a plan. Either you already have one or listen to the training. The other thing, and I'll share some templates with you, is you want to just have doesn't have to be a big deal, but just like a little bit of a program guide to give people. So for those of you that know, the way that I do enrollment conversations is, especially when you're first starting out, it's a 2-call process. You're not trying to make the sale on the first call. The idea is to give people space and time for contemplation, to not be too aggressive or pushy, to develop that relationship that's so important for marketing, the trust, like all of that. And in between that first and second call, you're going to want to give homework. I lay all of this out in the 5-hour training. I'm not going to get into all of it right now, but just for, because we're talking about program guides, you're going to give them homework and you're going to send them more information about the offering. And so you just want to have that set before you get on a call with anyone. And I'll provide all of that, you know, you have all that information in the enrollment conversation training. So let's see, can I give you a little bit more? Yes, let me give you a little bit more. That's first. First is individual outreach for people that you think would be a really good fit for the offering. Once you do that, all the things that I just shared, then the next place, if you're doing grassroots marketing and guerrilla marketing, is create, I call it like a second tier list. So your first tier list are people that are just really appropriate to be your client or to be in that program. Second tier list are people that you know that it's not appropriate for them to step into the program or the offering or the one-on-one with you, either because they're not a good fit or, like, you know, they're your cousin or, you know, whatever it is. But they are someone who may likely know other people who are a good fit for your program. So these are people that you would want to ask referrals. And so it's a very similar process to the tier one that we already looked at. I want you to make a list of anyone that you know that might know your ideal client. Make a list of anyone you know that might know your ideal client and send an outreach letter to that person. And again, you're going to create a template so you don't have to reinvent the wheel for each of these second tier people. It's actually going to be very similar to the individual outreach email, but instead of, I feel like you would be love this program because X, Y, and Z, instead you're going to say something like, you know, because you are so, and then whatever this person is, like you're such a soul-centered entrepreneur, or, you know, because you're just such a wise woman who knows incredible people, or, you know, whatever it is, because you're so blah, I sense that you might know some people who are the exact type of person that would be perfect for this retreat, right? And you describe who that person is and what that person wants. And then again, the would you be willing, right? But instead of would you be willing to hop on the phone, well, you actually the best thing is to say would you be willing to hop on the phone with me for 5 or 10 minutes so I can share more with you about it, right? You can ask for referrals via email. Just, you know, would you be willing to share about this retreat with other people? Absolutely, you can do that. It's not as effective as if you can speak to your second tier person on the phone for a few minutes or in person or over tea, whatever it is, and like really share with them, have them hear your voice and your excitement about this and who this is for, and ask them, if they know anybody that they could share this with. Can they connect you, you know, send an email connecting you with people that might be a good fit? And again, for this letter, same as the individual outreach, casual, not markety, be real, be yourself, etc. Okay, so I'm going to pause there. We've got a lot more to look at. Next week we're going to look at moving on from more from individual outreach. And I'm actually going to share with you next week how I filled a day-long event here in Charlotte with 55 people, right, literally months after I moved here from New York, and I didn't know anybody in Charlotte at all, but how I was able to fill that, because, you know, I know sometimes it's like, oh, I'm just starting out, and so I don't know anyone, and so how can I build my business and my clientele if I don't know anyone? And that's when I moved here, obviously I had my whole online business, and that was established, but I wanted to do local events, and I literally, you know, just knew no one. I just knew a few people. So I'm going to share with you exactly how to do that. But for now, your homework this week is to move forward on the steps that I shared with you today. Any questions before we wrap for today? Star 2. Anything you need from me in order to start working on some of this? Susie.
Hi, Joanna. I'm wondering if I've already been talking about my retreat and I've had some conversations, can I kind of start over and have
yes.
the same
100%.
Level of conversation?
Yes.
I feel like the approach I've been taking is like it wasn't right. I didn't realize it, and I want to hit a reset button.
I give you full permission to hit a reset button, start over, and you can, like, for certain people, again, like, marketing is just about being real. You know, for certain people, you might be like, oh, my God, like, that email that I sent you was, like, so robotic, you know? And I would just love for us to get on the phone, you know, because I want to talk to you anyway, but because I'm so excited about this, right? Like, just mm-hmm. say it. Like, name the elephant in the room. Be real and be honest.
Thank you.
Is that helpful?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Carolyn.
Hey, Joanna. So two questions. One, oh God, and hopefully I didn't forget what they are. One is, how many times will you follow up with someone? Is it just the second follow-up if they don't respond right away?
That's such a good question. So, you know, full transparency, I my fear comes up sometimes with follow-up. That's why I call it the F word. If I can stretch myself for an individual outreach, like it's different when it's going out to a lot of people. Great. If I can stretch myself on individuals, I'll do twice. I'll usually do like 3 or 4 days on the first follow-up and then maybe a week on the second. And if I just know it's a particularly flaky person, but that they really do probably want to get on the phone with me, I'll do a third. But if it's someone that like I'm a little intimidated by, I honestly might poop out and only do one follow-up, just to be honest.
Okay. And then my other question is, I love your idea of the escape hatch, the informational interview. Have you ever considered, so if you do your first outreach and then a second follow-up and maybe even a third, or in lieu of a third, what would you think of trying the escape hatch as kind of like that last effort? Like, okay, I've sent you a couple emails, you know, maybe this isn't right. Maybe you don't think this is right for you, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, but I still think you're perfect, and I'd love if you would be willing just to, like, you know, pick your mind.
Yeah.
I would absolutely do that. If you do that, I think the subject line is really important, so they don't just think it's another follow-up. And I might, you know, whatever, like, your energy and your languaging is, but if it were me, I'd probably do something in the subject line like, well, here's another idea, or, you know, like, so just something to let them know that's a little different from what they already got.
Okay, great. I like that.
Yeah. Good. Heather.
Oh, hey. So I'm curious about this idea of giving homework in between the first and second call. Mm-hmm. What? Do you have an example you can share of what that might be?
Yeah, I'll share briefly. And I hate to be, but listen to the whole training, because then it will really all come together. But basically, when you're doing a two-call enrollment process, the purpose of the first call, like I said, is not to seal the deal. The purpose of the first call is to develop a rapport, to deepen the relationship, and to help your prospect identify what it is that they really want for themselves, what's standing in the way of what they want for themselves, and then for you to share a little bit about how you might be able, your retreat, your program, whatever it is, might be able to help them get from where they are now to where they want to be in the future for themselves. And so, you know, I go through in the training exactly how to do that step by step by step in that first call. And then the idea is to give them time to not feel the pressure, right, of like, I need to make a decision right now. And also, you know, for them to, like, to invest more in this relationship with you, like giving them homework is just more, it's like they're investing more of their themselves in the conversation that you've already started. But the other purpose of the homework is that the homework questions will allow them to go deeper into those things that I just outlined, what they really want for themselves, what's standing in the way, and how they can get there with your help. And so, you know, oftentimes I'll invite the prospect to do journaling, and the journaling questions, I'll say, like, you know, we already on this call just so, you know, articulated what you want for yourself. I want you to, in your journaling, go deeper, get more detailed, write out every little thing that you really want for X, right? Like, so oftentimes I'm talking with people about their business or their coaching practice. You know, so, like, just really lay out your whole vision for what kind of coach you want to be. You know, for your ideal client, you're going to be talking about something different, so whatever it is. And then the second piece to journal on is why, right? Because the what is different than the why, but the why is so important. So why do you want this vision for yourself? Why is it so important for you? And then from there, I want you to write out how you sense if we were to work together, or you would come to this retreat, you know, whatever it is, how I can help you create what you want. And then the last question that I usually give people is, you know, I usually say, and the last question is the most important. I like to call it the moment of truth. What I want you to do is I want you to get really clear for yourself on any fears or doubts or concerns or anxieties that you have about creating what you want for yourself. And I want you to just name each one of them, because it's so important to be honest about those anxieties and those doubts. But I don't want you to stop there. What I want you to do next is I want you to honestly ask yourself, are you willing to let that anxiety go? Now, it's okay if you don't know how to let that fear go or that anxiety go. That's part of the work that we'll do together, you know, in our one-on-one work, in our retreat, you know, whatever it is. That's part of the work we'll do together, is to help you release any fear about achieving what you want. But what's important is that you're willing to let it go. Because here's the thing, I'm really good at what I do, and I know that I can help you, but I can only help you if you're willing to let go of what's in your way. If you're not willing, it's not going to be possible. And then once you write all of that out, my invitation is for you to just take some time and connect deeply into your inner wisdom and ask yourself, you know, is this retreat right for you? And I want you to know that I totally honor your inner wisdom, and I'm not attached to outcome in any way. Right, so that's an example of homework. But again, I lay all of that out in more detail in the training. But is that helpful?
Very. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're very welcome. All right. I think we're complete for today. If any other questions come up, post them. Let me know what you need. You know, I want to help you as much as I can. We'll have time, I'm sure, some questions just on these first pieces. As you start to work towards them, will come up. So we'll definitely have time for Q&A on next week's call as well. And then, like I said, I'm going to share with you next pieces on how to do outreach and get people to your events. So I'm wishing you all a wonderful rest of your day, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.